We read about the star and we read about the magi. We read all those stories, and those are the stories we're familiar with. And John also often gets left out because, first of all, John does not have a birth narrative to start his gospel. But I'll tell you what, for me, this is as good a Christmas story as any others. And so we're going to read this passage together, or part of it. I'm going to read parts of John chapter 1, 1 through 9. So if you're there, here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens all humanity, was coming into the world. Now, I love this passage. I love it. There's a lot of reasons why I love it. It purposely imitates Genesis. That's not an accident. John's doing that on purpose because he's talking about the light. And of course, in Genesis, we see God speaking the light into existence. That's the first thing he does. And we see that this passage starts in the beginning. Well, again, that's not an accident. John is purposely imitating Genesis. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I like it. But it's so beautiful and poetic. And it's such a wonderful description of Jesus and the light that he brings. However, when we read this passage, we might notice there's a bit of a problem. And the problem is this. It's that when we look at the world, we see lots of hatred, we see strife, we see war, we see hunger, we see poverty, we see natural disasters, we see climate problems. You know, we see all of these things, and we have to ask ourselves, where is the light in all this? Because honestly, a lot of times, when we look at our news feeds and we see the things going on in the world, it looks like the darkness is absolutely overcoming the light. And that can be a real mood killer at this time of year and in this season. In fact, you know, some people, a lot of us, may actually be experiencing more fear during this time of year at this point in the history of the world than joy. And we have to ask ourselves, is the light, is it making any difference at all? Well, we have to understand that the light of Christ is the kind of light that I really love. It's subtle. It's understated. It's working behind the scenes. It's not appearing in the ways that you might think. And it's not appearing in the places you might think. And this stuff, none of this stuff that I'm talking about now, none of this is lost on the gospel writers either. None of this is lost on Matthew or on Luke, who wrote down these, who recorded these Christmas stories or the birth narratives that we know so well. As Ben mentioned last week, and if you didn't hear his message, I really would encourage you to go and have a listen to it. The Christmas stories are not just these beautiful little cute nativity scenes. There's a lot of darkness in these stories. The writers of the Gospels are quick to remind us that the world that they knew was under a brutal, and I do mean a brutal and cruel, occupation by the Roman Empire. And it was men like Augustus, Caesar, and Herod who were in charge. Now, these are actual pictures of what they looked like, but here's an artist's rendition of... Yep, Augustus, the emperor, and Herod the Great. Not a nice man, not someone you invite over for dinner. And these men amassed their power and maintained their power through military conquest, through violence, through political coercion, through underhanded tactics, the whole lot. The same things you see today in the world are the things that happened way back then. It hasn't changed. For the writers and the readers of the New Testament, this was absolutely a time of darkness. And the centers of power at this time and the, where the major events and the important people lived and the major events happened, well, these things were happening in Rome, or they were happening in the other major cities in the empire. And then as we read these stories at the margins of the world, away from the centers of power, Jesus is born. And it's a seemingly insignificant birth to a poor young woman in an out-of-the-way village that no one cared about. And it's outsiders, it's shepherds, and it's foreign astrologers who actually learn about it and discover it. No one important even notices or really cares. And when they do, they try to kill him. John says this: he was in the world, right? He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. It doesn't look like, it really doesn't look like this birth changes anything. This insignificant birth that no one notices changes a thing in this world. But to the gospel writers, this birth challenges the powers that be. And it challenges the way things are, the way things are done. It challenges the way the world works. In other words, this birth changes everything. As John says in the passage that we just read, this is the light that enlightens all humanity. And I want to encourage you this morning, guys, to say this, that this light actually still shines in the same way as it did in the birth of Jesus. Subtle, understated, often unnoticed, working in the margins, working in the unseen places. And here's the interesting thing. It's in you and it's in me because we carry it. That's why we're here. Here's the hard part, right? The hard part's this. We're meant, our purpose is to shine the light of Jesus in this dark world. We are meant to carry that light to others. And a lot of times, what that looks like is the hard-to-notice stuff, the small things that are done by the people of Jesus, the uncelebrated acts of kindness, compassion, charity, generosity. A lot of times, that's what it looks like. Now, I'll tell you a story of someone who figured that out, our mystery person for the day. Yeah? All right. This is a story of a man, a young man named Giovanni. I like that name. It's good in Italian. Giovanni. I'll try to say it in the Italian way. Giovanni was a young, handsome, athletic, popular Italian young man. And he was rich on top of all that, as if he didn't have enough already. And he lived in a small city in Italy. It's fair to say that Giovanni's parents indulged him, like overly indulged him, because they did have a lot of money. And Giovanni grew very fond of a lavish lifestyle and spending lots of money. That was what he was into. Now, he seemed to be a reasonably charitable young man. But boy, he loved to live sort of a lavish and devil-may-care lifestyle. Well, it so happened that the city where Giovanni was from or lived, they went to war with another city in Italy. And at that time, things like that happened quite a bit. And Giovanni joined his city's army and decided to fight in this war. Wouldn't you know, Giovanni was injured. He was wounded and he was captured and he was imprisoned. During that time, he became more and more disillusioned with his former life. Started to rethink things a little bit. So that when he was released and returned to the city where he was born, the hot-headed young man that he now was, he started to take his family's wealth and sell it off, as you do, and started giving that money to the poor, like performing charitable acts with it. Well, his family, they weren't too happy with this, and they denounced him publicly, so much so that he ended up renouncing his renouncing his wealth, renouncing his family's wealth. He didn't want a bar of it. But of course, now Giovanni is wandering around without any resources, and he has adopted a life of poverty. And this is how he supported himself. He wandered around from church to church, acting as a sort of church handyman, if you like, fixing things up, you know, taking care of little problems around the different churches in the area. And during that time, he started bumping into these communities of leprosy sufferers, because they still had that in it was still pretty evident back then that that disease was still pretty rampant. And so he would bump into these communities of lepers, and he started to care for them. He started to meet their needs. Now, interestingly enough, these small little things that Giovanni was doing, this lifestyle that he was living, it was really attractive to the people who actually took notice of what he was doing. And he soon gathered a small group of followers, and they started wandering around doing these things, performing these charitable acts and showing compassion to people. And so popular did this become that it started a movement of chapters that actually began in all of the different countries of Europe. And there were many, many, many people who joined up with this movement, both men and women. And this man is actually St. Francis, the person we know as St. Francis. And he was the founder of the Franciscan movement, which is a movement of people that's really dedicated to compassion, to charity for the poor, to looking after creation. All of those things are tenets of the Franciscan movement. And so he started this huge thing, this huge movement. And the way it started was him doing these small, tiny, little acts of charity and compassion. And let me just flip my page here because my fingers aren't quite working as well as I would like. I tell you that story, guys, because I want to encourage you this morning in this way. Please do not underestimate the light that you carry. Don't underestimate or don't think little of those seemingly unnoticed acts of kindness and love and generosity that you are doing now. Do they make a difference? Absolutely. Absolutely they make a difference. They change things in ways that honestly we can't always see. And so I want to encourage you this morning. Here's my encouragement. Please shine in the place where God has put you, because you are there to do good. That's what we're here for. And like with St. Francis, little things can quickly become big things. So be prepared for that. And these things can become big things, especially when your light, the small light that you carry, or the big light that you carry, if you want to look at it that way, joins up with other lights. Right? When we start working together. Here's something. So I was at, Renee and I were at the U2 concert. Yeah, I know. It was awesome. It really was. We were at this concert, and there was this happening that I'll show you, and I had to record it because I think this shows exactly what I'm talking about. Every one of those is just one little tiny phone light, which doesn't make a whole lot of difference on its own, does it? But when they were all joined together, and the video doesn't really capture it, how bright it was in the middle of that stadium. And they had the stage lights turned off, so all you could see were these phone lights sort of working together. And I loved it. I think that kind of shows exactly the point I'm trying to make here. Our lights shining together make a massive difference in the world, even though on their own, the things we do a lot of times look small. Now, that's my encouragement for you. Here's my exhortation, because I do have an exhortation for you. And that's this. Let's not become complacent or comfortable or satisfied with just small token gestures, just doing things because we know we're supposed to, or because we know we have to. You know, the light of Christ, it enlightens our lives so that we can live for something that's bigger than ourselves. Right? And if you look, if you're here this morning, here's a little side note. If you're here this morning and you're wondering, you're wondering what this Jesus thing is all about, let me tell you, this is what it's about. It's about living for something bigger. It's not about all of our problems going away, because any of us will tell you that it doesn't do that. Right? We still have problems like everybody else. And it's not about, and here's a trick, listen to this. It's not about going to heaven. And it's not about not going to hell. And it's not about being happy all the time either, because any one of us could tell you we're not happy all the time. It's actually about our lives meaning something more than just living for happiness and good times. It's about being a part of something bigger than us. And it's about having hope that this dark world can be restored. It's about having hope that hope is not lost for this world. And that's what this, honestly, that's what this Jesus thing is about. That's what this light that we carry is about. But let me tell you this, family, this morning, we need to be intentional with that light. If we want to see it overcome darkness, then we have to let it shine wherever we can. We need to be continually looking for people who need that light. And it's maybe people we didn't expect. And those people are maybe in places we didn't expect. This Christmas season, this Christmas, it's going to come and it's going to go. And we all know we've been in our season of giving, right? And that's awesome. That's been fantastic. And we're seeing the fruits of that, right? We're seeing the stuff that Narelle's been doing. We're seeing the stuff that other people around in the community have been doing. But let's not let our generosity go out with the season. Let's not let our light go out. If anything, let's make it shine brighter. If anything, let's give more. Sort of like what Matthew says here. I love what he, well, actually, it's Jesus talking. What Matthew records Jesus is saying. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And guys, this is what we have been called to do. This is what we are here for. Right? We are here to make this world a better place. We are here to light up the darkness of this world. We are here to change what we can in this world. Renee's painted a little placard in our house. I'm going to end with this, actually, because I think it sort of speaks for itself. And I love that. And that's where I'm going to leave you this morning.